It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's your Jazz Notes podcast. I'm your host, Ben Anderson. A very happy Wednesday, or whatever day you're listening to this podcast, to you. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, you can subscribe and like us on iTunes or wherever you pick up your podcasts, or find us on kslsports.com. You can find me on Twitter at benshoops.com. Always appreciate the follow. Try to be interactive with you. If you tweet at me during games, I'm usually live tweeting as I'm watching and working all the games. I love to hear from you and get to know what you want to hear more of or like to know more of. I'm always happy to do that, and I learn a lot reading your tweets as well. So follow me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. Big show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jazz getting ready for the New Orleans Pelicans and some breaking news on that front. And then we'll talk about this Jazz 10-game win streak and still what they've got coming up ahead of them and what trends we've seen. Specifically, so the big news with the Pelicans is that David Griffin, their general manager, who they hired in the offseason to initiate this rebuild post-Anthony Davis, announced today that Zion Williamson would not be making his debut against the Utah Jazz, which had been the rumor for a few days now, actually, maybe even going back to Sunday, that Zion was targeting this date to come back. David Griffin now said that that's actually going to be January 22nd against the San Antonio Spurs, so the Jazz may once again avoid a player. And it's weird to say avoid a guy who hasn't played yet this season. But you look over those last 10 games the Jazz have won, and even further back than that, and every team's beat up in the NBA. It's not like the Jazz are, for some reason, getting extraordinarily lucky. These guys aren't playing most of the games. But, you know, the Jazz have missed Zach Collins, who's not a major player, but Yusuf Nurkic isn't back for the Trailblazers yet. And they've missed Jrue Holiday at times, and they may miss him again tomorrow. They missed Blake Griffin when they went to Detroit. There's just been a lot of good players who the Jazz have not faced on this streak. And I'm not of the camp that says just because the Jazz are winning 10 games, 10 in a row, or have won, 15 out of 16 now, that it's discounted at all because they haven't played those players. But I'm also not of the camp that says we don't get to look at context. Like, the Jazz have won 15 games of their last 16. 16 games is 20% of the season. And they've had one loss in 20% of the season. That's an amazing number. And you have to play well to do that. Because bad teams beat good teams every night in the NBA. And the Jazz have found a way to mostly avoid that with that lone loss to Miami. And truthfully, if the Jazz had won that game with who they were at that point, we would have chalked that up as a worse team beating a better team, especially on the road, as good as Miami's been this year. So the Jazz have been taking care of business against teams that they're better than. And you have to do that in the NBA. And they've found a way to do that. But credit the Jazz for doing it, and most importantly, just playing hard every night. I think that's really a skill that gets overlooked and undervalued. And the Jazz are coming out, and they're just not having bad quarters. They're not having entirely bad stretches of games. Now, they'll have a bad 2 or 3 minutes, a bad 4 minutes, a bad rotation. But whatever it is, that they find a way to win games. And yeah, they were down by 15 against the Washington Wizards on Sunday and came flying back and ended up winning that game by double digits going away. And that is the value of the three-point shooting and the offensive weaponry that they have now on this team. And you saw it again last night when they took on the Brooklyn Nets, where it was 45-43 through the first, 17 minutes of game, maybe 19 minutes of that game. And then with 5 minutes left in the second quarter, going into halftime, the Jazz put the clamps on the Pelicans and then cranked up the offense. They held the Pelicans to 2 points over a 5 minute stretch. You're not going to win a basketball game, regardless of who you are. You could be the Lakers, you could be the Clippers, you could be the Jazz, you could be the Nuggets, you could be the Milwaukee Bucks. If you only score 2 points over a 5-minute stretch, that's 10% of the game, more than 10% of the game. You're not going to win that game because opposing offenses are too good and the Jazz are too good. And not only did the Jazz put the clamps on for 2 points, they scored 14 of their own in that final 5 minutes. And they weren't even at their best. I mean, they had some bad turnovers. They had some missed shots. That number could have been much bigger, but they extended that lead from 45 to 43 to 59 to 45 at half. And the Pelicans never trimmed it back to closer than 8. And you just got to understand that in the second half of a game, and I know it's cliche to say NBA is a game of runs, but especially with 3-point shooting today and how quickly a game can turn, to never close a game to closer than 8 points over 24 minutes in the second half is a blowout and disheartening for the opposing team that no matter what they do, the Jazz have an answer, whether that's getting a stop when they need it, whether that's getting a bucket when they need it, or better yet, doing both back-to-back or several times back-to-back. And that's how you win games big. And the Jazz continue to win games big. And winning games by 11 when you're favored by 1 at tip-off, like the Jazz did last night on the road at Brooklyn, is really impressive. It's really hard to do, and the Jazz are finding ways to do that. So tip of the cap to the Utah Jazz. All right, let's get back to Zion Williamson a little bit and him not playing for the Pelicans as they get ready to take on the Jazz. This Pelicans team is bizarre. They're good, and we saw that if you're a Jazz fan, you watched this game a little more than a week ago. And you saw how talented this Pelicans team can be because Brandon Ingram is a legit star in the making and had 35 points in that game, and the Jazz had no answers for him. He was big, and he would take the smaller player down low and score in the post. And then if they put a big on him, he would just beat you off the dribble and get a layup. And then the Jazz needed a miracle, I guess you should say, from Rudy Gobert late to block that shot, and they got a little help because the referees didn't call a foul that the NBA deemed was a foul, and that helped them get the victory. But the Pelicans don't play like that every night. So you did get the best of the Pelicans, and you still got the win. And you gave up your highest scoring game of the season. You gave up 126 points to the Pelicans and still won. I'd be very curious to look at how many teams win their worst defensive outing just from a raw points per game average or output total. How often the team wins that game on their worst defensive night. It's impressive from the Jazz to do that, and it says a lot about what this offense is doing. But as I mentioned, they might be without Brandon Ingram tomorrow. They might be without Drew Holiday tomorrow, who's got an elbow injury. Brandon Ingram's got a knee injury. And then Derek Favors, who's still dealing with a knee injury as well. He got hurt. It was a leg injury, at least, a couple of games ago. So he's been day-to-day. I would be surprised, I guess, if we saw all three of them. It'd be hard to think that three of those guys are day-to-day and they all come back at the same time. It sounds like Drew Holiday might be the closest to coming back or maybe the most surefire bet. But we'll have to keep an eye on that and stay updated as we get closer to the game. But the Jazz have won 10 in a row and are looking to make it 11. And it's tough to imagine the stretch continuing to go the direction it has. But when you're playing as well as the Jazz are and you've got the momentum and you've got the confidence that they have, it doesn't matter if Brandon Ingram's on the floor or it doesn't matter if Drew Holiday's on the floor or if Zion plays or doesn't play and isn't going to play. The Jazz are going in and just imposing their will on teams and just grinding teams down. And it comes because over this last 10-game stretch, the Jazz are just finding different weapons every single night to score. I was looking this up last night as I was doing the Nets game. The number of 20-point-per-game scores the Jazz have had over the last 5 games is incredible. And you look at the guys who have done it. We know Joe Ingles has done it because he did it last night, had tied his career high of 27 points. We know Boyan's done it. In fact, I think he's had 3 30-point games in this 10-game stretch for the Jazz and 4 20-point games. Jordan Clarkson's done it a couple of times. Rudy Gobert's done it. Emmanuel Mudiay did it, of all people. In this 5-game stretch, Donovan Mitchell didn't score 20 until this last game. And yeah, he missed a game, and that counts. And then he was sick. What was that, against the Knicks, and only had 4 points? But whatever that game was, he was bad and didn't play very well and didn't play very long. I think he only played like 22 minutes. So for the Jazz to be winning games, and Donovan Mitchell, who averages 24 points a game, he's top 15 in the NBA in points per game and is basically a lock for an all-star, for the Jazz to still be winning those games when they're not getting those numbers from their guy who over the last 2 seasons has been the only scorer on the team, is a good indicator of how far this team has come as a whole and how dangerous it is. And that's really measured or reflected, I guess, in the last 10 games by the Jazz having the number one offense in the NBA at 122 points a game. And to give you some reference on that, 122 points a game is 3.8 points better than the Spurs, who right now over this last 10-game stretch have the number two rank, offensive ranking in the NBA at 118.2. So you're a full 3.8 points per 100 possessions better. I mean, that's a made three extra a game. It adds up because games are not decided by that much, and the gaps in averages between teams are just simply not that much over the length of a season. And to give you even more reference, the Mavericks right now for the entire NBA season are the number one team in the NBA offensively at 115.7 points per game. 115.7 points per game. The Jazz over their last 10 games are 7 points above that, or 6.3 points above that. I mean, it's staggering how well this offense is playing. And it won't stay this well because, you know, the NBA record is like 116 points per game or 117 points per game, or I should say offensive rating. And the Jazz will not continue with 122, but they went from being at one point the 26th ranked offense in the NBA, and right now they're up to 11. And that number is just going to keep continuing to climb because they are so good. And they won't probably get to the top one or two or three, but by the end of the season, they might be six, they might be seven, they might be five. And if you can get up that high with this defense that's coming back, and you see how well Rudy Gobert is playing, is once again playing, and maybe he always was, playing like the best defensive player in the world, this is going to be a hard team to beat. It's really hard to be top 10 offensively and defensively, and when you do, you're generally a contender. And that's a real testament to what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing right now, because they're the number one defense in the NBA and the number three offense in the NBA. So they really are just crushing teams, and that's why they have the best record in the NBA and have only lost six games all year. And tip of the cap to the Jazz, who have won one of those games and almost won both of their matchups with the Bucks, and forced Mike Budenholzer to play Giannis Antetokounmpo basically the entire second half in both games. The Jazz have a good matchup there, whatever the Jazz are doing, and certainly it's Rudy Gobert dropping back against Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then how well the Jazz shoot the three in both of those games that have kept the Jazz in it. But, you know, that's how the Jazz are going to rely on to try and win a championship this year. I mean, that's their identity. Just be insanely good defensively when they need to, crank that up in the postseason, and then hope that the threes continue to fall. And if the threes continue to fall, the Jazz are going to be a dangerous team. So I talked a little bit about the five weapons the Jazz have had over this stretch where Donovan Mitchell hadn't scored 20 until this final game of this five-game stretch. Here's the other point-per-game averages over the last 10. I think it's interesting to look at. Donovan Mitchell's averaging 22.3 points per game. Again, that's a significant drop back from his 25 points per game he was averaging before this stretch started. Bojan Bogdanović has stayed so consistent all season at 20.3 points per game. Yeah, he'll have a 16 or 17-point night, and then he rounds it off with a 30-point night, and then we'll, you know, have a 20-point game, and that's how he stays at that average. He's incredibly consistent. Joe Ingles has seen that number climb to 16.1 points per game. Jordan Clarkson's given the Jazz 15 points per game since he's joined the team, and then Rudy Gobert is at 14.9 points per game over these last 10 games. So you're seeing where that scoring is coming from, and that's wonderful balance. You've got Donovan Mitchell, who's been playing your point guard. You've got Bojan Bogdanović, who's your power forward. Joe Ingles, who's your two or three, whatever you want to say he is, rotating with Royce O'Neal night in and night out. Jordan Clarkson's your sixth man. And then Rudy Gobert is your center. I mean, that's five guys that basically list your top six players, and they're all in double digits, and they're all significantly in double digits. They're basically all at 15 points or more. That's incredible. And that's why the Jazz any night are just going to find the mismatch and just going to beat you with it over and over. And last night it was Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert. And if it wasn't Joe Ingles running the pick and roll with Gobert, it was Joe Ingles in isolation and walk-up three-pointers and transition threes and his newfound confidence as he's found shooting wherever he is on the floor, left side, right side, going left, going right. That dead ball floater that Craig Bowlerjack likes to call it, that really doesn't have any spin on it but still finishes really soft at the rim, has become a dangerous weapon. And then if you collapse on him, he's so tall and such a good passer that he finds Rudy or he finds a shooter in the corner, and it's made him one of the best pick-and-roll initiators in the NBA, and it's a tool the Jazz are going to need to continue to rely on, and he's been a big reason moving into the starting lineup why the Jazz have been so good lately. So looking at this 10 games, continuing to go back a little bit, I think there's some interesting numbers here to look at with the Jazz as a team overall and just how well they're playing. Over these last 10 games, the Jazz are shooting 50% from the floor, just on field goals, and 40% from the three-point line, which is just, you know, magnificent numbers. I mean, we talk about great NBA players and the greatest shooters of all time getting that 50-40-90 club, 50% from the floor, 40% from the three-point line, and 90% from the free throw line. And the Jazz are hitting two of those three, and truthfully, they're hitting two of the three most important numbers. Free throws are great, and it would be awesome to be a 90% free throw shooting team. Nobody's ever going to do that because you just have too many bad free throw shooters. And right now the Jazz are shooting 76% over this 10-game stretch. But it's just a strong indicator of how well the Jazz are playing and how well they're shooting the ball. And really it's been what's buoyed this team. And then defensively, the Jazz are allowing teams to shoot 44% from the floor and just 33% from the three-point line. And maybe that's a little low, and maybe that's a number that's going to rebound because the Jazz give up a little bit better than that on the season. And maybe that climbs 1% or 2% through the rest of the year. And that's probably the difference between a couple of games. Making one extra three or missing one extra three has gone in the Jazz favor. An opposing team gets hot and will beat the Jazz that way, and that's probably how we're going to see the streak end for the Jazz. But That's a very solid number, and you're seeing why the Jazz are winning games, because the defensive numbers look good from a field goal percentage, and then offensively those numbers are also high. One of the interesting things for the Jazz has been the big uptick in assists per game over the last 10. They're at about 23 a game, 22.9 to be exact. The Jazz on the season going into last night's game were only 25th in the NBA. Despite this blender that Jazz fans like to talk about and Quinn Snyder we know likes to talk about, the Jazz are really not this crazy assist team. But they really are good on kicking the ball around, finding open shooters, and getting shots off of that, though they don't always necessarily record an assist. And also the Jazz just don't have the highest pace of play. So they're not taking as many shots as some teams are. And that's one of the reasons why that number is low. But good to see that number well up over 20 in this stretch. It's a good signifier that the Jazz are moving the ball, and that's why the offense has been so good. On the flip side, the Jazz are still averaging 12.6 turnovers per game through the first 30 games of the season. That was about 15. So they've improved. That's 2.5 possessions a game that they're holding on to. And then on the flip side, they're forcing 11.4 turnovers as well. So that's a nice number. That's a good spot for the Jazz to be in. Obviously, you're always happy to see the turnovers climb. But the Jazz are kind of a funny team. When you have Rudy Gobert, you don't need to gamble for steals. You don't need to go out and try and force turnovers and make bad decisions to get them. You can be very happy by saying, man, the best thing we can do is have somebody dribble into a mid-range shot against Rudy Gobert. And the odds of getting the ball back that way on a rebound off of a missed shot is significantly higher than gambling and trying to get a steal. And what happens to your team if you miss that gamble and then they've got numbers 4-on-5 because, you know, you're halfway to the backcourt and they're trying to attack you now as a team. So that's why I think you will always see turnover numbers a little bit low for the Jazz in the stretch. Or I guess we should say as long as Rudy Gobert's on this roster. So that's the Jazz over the last 10 games. Good schedule still coming up, and I think we'll get a good test. I think these last two games, including tomorrow night's game, are going to be good for the Jazz. I don't want to call them a warm-up, and look, the Pelicans have a bad record overall on the season. They're second worst in the Western Conference, though they are only 4 games out of the 8th spot in the West, which is crazy and shows you how good the NBA is this year, at least how closely those teams are all ranked together. The Jazz finish off this game against the Pelicans, and then they really do get into that tougher stretch of the season that's going to be fun to watch, and I think it's going to be very indicative of probably what we're going to see from this roster the rest of the year. And now, I know that's not going to include Mike Conley yet at this point. Is he still working his way back from injury? And this, you know, basically 16 and now 17 game stretch is going to be very key for the Jazz at the end of the year when standings come. But the stronger indicator, I think, is going to be how the Jazz play over these next few games. After the Jazz face the Pelicans, they get the Kings back at home, and then they get into this tough stretch that we've talked a lot about. They take on the Pacers here in Salt Lake City. They travel and take on the Warriors, which is a good game. Jazz should win that one. Then they get back and play the Mavericks. They play the Rockets. They travel to the Spurs. They travel to the Nuggets. They travel to the Blazers. Then they get the Nuggets back at home. Then they get the Blazers at home. Then they go and play at the Rockets, at the Mavericks, home against the Heat, home against the Spurs, home against the Rockets, home against the Suns. Suns aren't very good. Home against the Celtics. And then you kind of get back to the Wizards. And yes, there's an all-star break mixed in there, but this is going to be a really tough stretch and a really impressive stretch for the Jazz if they can continue to win at a high rate. And, you know, you don't need to win at 70% or 100% like they have over the last 10 games. And overall, their winning percentage on the season is 70%. It's probably unfair to expect them to continue to do that against those teams. But if you can win 66%, win 6 out of every 10, or, you know, 7 out of every 11, the Jazz are going to be in a really good spot and should finish the rest of the regular season around 54 to 57 wins. And if you do that, the Jazz really are in contention for that second seed in the West. And that's just going to be absolutely crucial because you're probably playing the Oklahoma City Thunder there, as opposed to playing you know, a team that's as good as the Clippers could conceivably fall back to six, or the Nuggets could fall back to six, or the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic could fall back to six or sit at six. That's a much different matchup than taking on the Thunder, I think, in the first round. And that's why I think seeding in the NBA is going to be so important. And then it's going to come down to which side of the bracket you're on. Remember, the Jazz ended up in such a bad bracket last year. Now they got bounced in the first round, so they didn't even get to test that depth. But the Jazz were going to have to face, if they got past the Rockets, probably the Warriors in the second round, you know, or the Clippers. And the Clippers were good last year as the eighth seed if they were able to beat the Warriors. And obviously they didn't. But, you know, on the other side, the Nuggets and Trailblazers, who ended up on the top side of one bracket, ended up getting to face off against the Thunder and the Spurs in the first round and then played each other in the second round to go to the Western Conference Finals. And maybe that's the picture for the Jazz to get to the Western Conference Finals this year. Truthfully, I think this Jazz team right now is significantly more dangerous than either of those Blazers teams or Nuggets teams last year. I think the Jazz are far more legitimate as a contender than those teams were. And a lot of that, as they get closer to the playoffs, will again come down to how well Mike Conley is playing and how well the Jazz are playing with Mike Conley, assuming he comes back from this hamstring injury. And there's certainly been no reports to indicate that he is doing anything but getting closer to a return to the floor. That'll do it for your Jazz Notes podcast. As always, subscribe, like us on iTunes, or wherever you pick up your podcast. You can leave a review for us. We appreciate that. Makes it easier for other Jazz fans to find us and interact with and kind of build this KSL Sports Jazz community, which is what we're trying to do at KSL Sports and has been a big success so far. And thanks to everyone who's made that happen. Follow us on Twitter at KSL Sports, or follow me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops as I live tweet every game and try and talk to you in between. Catch up with us again later this week for more Jazz Notes podcast.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.